to see you in worship on this first Sunday in Advent. Do you ever get that I can't wait for it feeling? Maybe it's the a trip that you've had planned for some time. Maybe it's the festive side of Christmas, putting up the lights, setting up a tree. We definitely want to be in anticipation mode when it comes to the main reason for Christmas, as well as the implications that come with Christmas, which include the anticipation for the return of our Savior. That really then is the season of Advent in a nutshell. A feeling of anticipation to celebrate His birth while at the same time looking forward to His return. So let us once again worship our great Lord who makes such anticipation a reality. We turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of the worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins,
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On this first Sunday in Advent, a reading from Holy Scripture, from the prophet Isaiah, reminding us of the fact that God is the one who provides the salvation we need, even though we are not deserving of such action on his part. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join together in singing the refrain in Psalm 31.
Oh.
Jesus has been revealed, and he will be revealed again. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 11th chapter. There is no second guessing when it comes to what Jesus came here to do. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and it will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ."
Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. This is due to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. Turning back to these words from 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul writes, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who has come and the Savior who will come again in his good time for us. Are you one who tends to think or focus more on what you do not have, or at least think you do not have, going for you in this life? Or are you one who tends to focus more on what you do have going for you in this life? We have a tendency, don't we, to fall into both sides of that one. Sometimes, depending on the situation, focusing on what we don't think we have going for us. But then things come back into perspective and realize we do have things going for us in our life. Well, what is always there for us, even when we may not think so, or even when we're not even thinking about this? Answer? God's faithfulness. Faithfulness rooted in who he is. And his faithfulness is evident to each and every one of us on each and every day of our life. Why so? Because of his grace. So even on our worst of days here on this side of heaven, his grace remains intact. The season of Advent highlights God's grace for us as it leads our thoughts and our hearts to Christmas. And then beyond Christmas, to another time when our Savior will appear in flesh for all the world to see him for who he truly is. The season of Advent then truly is one of a season of anticipation. It is a time to once again to give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together with his Father and the Holy Spirit. And today we give thanks to God for his grace. Because his grace is so undeserved. Ever since the fall into sin. And really, even before that, as he had the plan of salvation in mind, knowing that Adam and Eve would disobey his command to show their love for him. And throughout the pages of Scripture, which really then captures what's been going on throughout history, we see evidence time and time again of why God's grace is so undeserved. Even to the people that Paul was first writing this letter to, the people in Corinth, the believers together with those who were not believers gathered in that great city of Corinth. The Corinthians were known for their humanism, so to speak, elevating human wisdom above everything else. And in their human wisdom, they did not see room for God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, even though they did see room for the gods that their human minds had come up with. They were, in a sense, a very religious people, just not to the one true God. They were also very self-centered people. There's even a sin that goes after the name of their city, a sin that is still very prevalent today. Sins of all types of sexual immorality. It wasn't a pretty time that Paul was writing this letter to. It was a warning and encouragement to the people there in Corinth, and even to the congregation, the people of Corinth, who would at times find themselves distracted. In fact, there was an act of immorality going on amongst the congregation, which Paul had to cry out and say, "What are you thinking, people? Not only are you hurting yourselves, but you're hurting the Lord and Savior, and you're hurting the people in the community, because instead of giving a faithful witness, you're giving approval to the acts that God disapproves of." Now, fast forward all these centuries, what has changed? God's message still applies to a people who are caught up in humanism, elevating human wisdom time and time again. I mean, how often do we look at human beings to be the solution to the world's problems? And God just sits in his thrones and laughs as the problems just get worse, because we turn to the human and not to the Creator, who has the ability to do something and has, thanks to his grace. We're still dealing with a people who are self-centered too often, who follow various gods that they have come up with in their minds and in their hearts, who can easily get distracted. I mean, we can find time to make the things of this world a priority, but when it comes to the things of God, such as worship and devotion time, well, God, you'll understand. But let us not take God's grace for granted, because one day that grace will be gone. God has expectations, and the Holy Spirit reminds us that too often we don't live up to those expectations. In fact, as we heard through the prophet Isaiah, even our best intentions are still filled and looked at as being filthy rags. God's grace truly is undeserved. So we want to give thanks for God's grace, not only in the Advent season, but every day of our life, because it's because of his grace that we can refer to this love action that he took care of on our part, this love action rooted in his Son. What prompted him to carry out this love action on our part through his Son is his grace, his undeserved love. This love action on his part that came out of grace still comes out of his grace, as the action that he carried out through his Son still has benefits for us today. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, reminds us that this is not something that we started with God. We did not do anything to earn God's favor toward us, that rather we have been enriched, have been, passive tense, reminding us that we are not the ones who instigated this, but rather God is the one who has enriched us by his grace through what his Son Jesus has done. And what is the result of God's grace, of his love action that still is carried out today with his Son at the center of it? The result is peace. Grace is the cause, and peace is the result of that grace, of that undeserved love. That peace has been secured through Jesus. Jesus is the one then who has taken all of the guilt that has been and should be upon us, and he took that upon himself, and he continued his suffering, not just while walking on this earth, but to the cross, where he endured what we should have endured, and he came out the victor. He became poor that we might become rich. That, really, in a nutshell, is Advent and Christmas and everything that comes with Christmas, Good Friday and Easter, and the empty tomb with that, knowing that we too shall live because he lives. All because of God's grace. And because of that grace and what Jesus has done through the cross, God's declaration toward us then in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit is forgiven. a declaration made by grace. It is a fact. It assures us that we have his favor. Again, not because we have done anything to earn it or deserve it, but because we have been enriched by his grace through Jesus. Because of his grace through Jesus, we have that peace. I mean, people are searching for peace. But his peace is unlike any other. And if we have his peace, then we can really then strive to have the peace that the world seeks. But when the world seeks to have peace apart from God and his source of peace in Jesus, we're not going to find it. You can legislate peace for a time, but it doesn't last. I mean, how often have we seen that throughout history? So I guess the study of history is important, so that we can learn from it, not to repeat it. But we human beings have kind of kicked history to the curb. And then we repeat the same mistakes of yesteryear and wonder why. It's not rocket science, but we make it complicated, don't we? But it really isn't when we focus back on God's grace and the result of that grace, which is peace. Trace back to history, to the birth of a Savior, who then grew up and died on a cross and rose again and ascended into heaven and continues to rule over us. What great history to learn about and to focus on so that we can stay at peace with God, with ourselves, and with others. Because if we really want peace in this world, it begins and continues with God through Jesus. His grace then not only keeps us favorable, has made us favorable with himself. It also is what keeps us safe all our days here on this earth. God is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He has promised that he will see us all our days to the end. He calls us and he equips us. He keeps us in that call by saying, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He reminds us through the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advocate working in us, that our sins have been paid for. And so that Holy Spirit reminds us that when we do sin and fail to keep God's commands as he wants, to repent. Lord, I am sorry, I messed up again. Have mercy on me. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that yes, indeed, he does have mercy on you because of what his Son has done for you. Go and live your life in peace. We have been and continue to be enriched by God's grace and the peace that comes as a result of that grace. We have what we need to remain firm and blameless and strong. We are not going to be liable for the sins that we have committed because our sins have been laid on Jesus. We cannot mention that enough, can we? And so we give thanks for this grace which is undeserved. This grace which gives us peace. This grace which reminds us that God is faithful to his word as we go through some difficult days. The Lord acknowledges that we will. We will go through many trials and tribulations until we and before we enter the kingdom of God. But we're not without hope and without the opportunity to be at peace, even though our body physically and our mind emotionally might be out of whack. But he says, I will not give you more than you can stand up underneath. All things work out for the good of those who love him. I still got you in the palm of my hand, he says. He keeps his word. And so then he reminds us in light of that to make the most of these days before us. To stay connected to him and focused with eager anticipation. I mean, Christmas still should be a special time for us, especially as Christians. Not because of the glitz and glamour and the gifts that we might get, all well and good, but because of the main reason of Christmas and all that comes with it. That anticipation, Lord, we pray, may not get lost on us and in us. And it's that anticipation that goes with the message of Christmas that motivates us then to live for God. To look back at his word and say, Lord, how do you want me to go about my life day in and day out? And he puts it there for us in black and white. His word keeps us focused. His word is what keeps us together as his family on our common goal or bind, our fellowship, this bond that we have by God's grace. Let us not take it for granted. It's not just we who are in this building right now, but we are connected to so many people from the past and the present and yet to come by God's grace. What a beautiful thing that we are not alone. And to expand that fellowship, the Lord has given us a mission. Go and live as children of light. Go into all the world and make disciples. And he even equips us on how to do that by giving us his means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. He says, live and share this truth as a way to say thank you to God for what he's done for us, to say thank you to God for the family he's given to us, especially our God-given family, and for all so many things to be thankful for. He says, give evidence that you are on the side of God. Make your calling and election sure by looking then in the mirror and going, have I done what God wants of me today? Yes and no. But am I still a child of God redeemed by his grace? Yes. And then you can put your head on the pillow with peace. God was reminding through Paul the Corinthians, and he reminds us today through the Apostle Paul that as we go and live as children of light, what is another result of that? Not only are we showing that we are on the side of God, and not only are we showing that we are at peace with God, but we also give an opportunity for others to witness what peace looks like. And as we live as God wants us to do, we have people then look favorably upon our church, because people do get reputations about churches. And it might be favorable and it may not be. We want people, as much as it depends on us, to be favorable toward us. Because if they're not favorable toward us, it may be that they do not get to hear the gospel. Not saying they may not hear it somewhere else, but why not through you? God, help us not be a barrier to someone not hearing the gospel by how we live. Acts of kindness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. So on those days when you are feeling down, and perhaps for good reason, keep in mind that not all is hopeless, because God remains faithful to who he is, and his grace still endures. It's still evident. And his grace is why you can have peace amidst the turmoil. A peace that truly surpasses all understanding. So yes, give thanks for God's grace in your life. And anticipate Christmas yet again. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It begins at the bottom of page 8.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen.
Please be seated. Again, we give thanks for the opportunity to show our love and our thankfulness to God through the thank offerings. God be praised for the generous support that he allows us to show him as we strive to spread the gospel here and elsewhere. And so in response, we turn and now sing this hymn of thanks and praise, Lord of all good. also pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted in the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety. Bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous offerings bring you and glad praises sing to you, ever grateful we will be. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. Continue to refresh in body and soul those celebrating a birthday this week. Lord, we ask that you refresh the body and mind of Keith Smith as he undergoes medical tests this coming week. Not only refresh his body as you will for him, above all, continue to refresh his mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change his status with you through Jesus. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise, honor, and glory, and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn to the sacraments, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. and have preserved you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace, sins forgiven. Amen.
We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here in the world may glorify you in this world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Just Bible study taking place here in the church proper, looking at God's hand throughout history. A good Bible study to keep things in focus as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and also then anticipate his return again as judge. If you'd like to start off, though, with singing with the children in the chapel at 9:15, you're welcome to do so. Bible study starts at 9:30. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society box, first Sunday of the month. We always emphasize the opportunity to help support missions that you as ladies of St. Mark's and of the Wells join together in supporting. You can learn more information about those missions on the bulletin board or go to the LWMS website. But thank you for your support in this way. Also a reminder that there will be an opportunity to sign up for poinsettias if you want to help beautify the church for Christmas. You can do so in that way. That sign-up sheet will be in the lobby either this week or for sure next week. I'd like to thank the Worship Arts Committee for taking the time to beautify the church the way they have it this week. It was River City Chorale really appreciated it too, that it was so festive for their for their Christmas concert. So good timing. Appreciate their work. And speaking of the River City Chorale, again, the month of December, not the Boreal, real quick, but, I mean, we are blessed with a lot of activity on campus this month. I mean, we had Friday, Saturday, the River City Chorale. Tonight, we got the Advent by Candlelight. You know, then we got school going on during the week, right, and worship and meetings and so forth. And then next weekend, we have a basketball tournament going on here at campus Thursday, Friday. Then we have a quilter's tea going on Saturday. We have the nativity going on Saturday. We have St. Mark's family brunch going on Sunday. And then we have the children's Christmas services the following week. And then we have our own Christmas services. God is good, right? We're active. So thank you for all the volunteers and the support. Thank you also for the building and grounds and all who helped blow leaves yesterday in the rain. Do what you can. The leaves keep falling, but so thank you for your time and effort in keeping the campus looking nice. Weekly news, just a reminder to see what's going on at church and school this week and month in the weekly news. And one more thing I was going to say, but I'll leave it at that. Penny has a few words to say about Advent by Candlelight.
Good morning. How many of you guys like to sing Christmas carols? Raise your hand if you like to sing Christmas carols. Well, I want to invite you guys to join the Angelic Choir. It's going to be with the live nativity. We get to be inside the gym, so we're not going to be cold. And it's going to be stage 4, which is really close to the door. So I want to invite any of you who are not involved in live nativity already to come on and sing with the Angelic Choir. You know the melody. We're not going to practice. We'll give you words, so all you have to do is come and enjoy and sing for the Angelic Choir. It's on Saturday, this Saturday, from 5 to 7. However, come a little bit earlier so you can get the words and we can get set up for those who are come right away. Now I'm just going to talk to the ladies of the congregation. And I want to encourage you to come to Advent by Candlelight tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock. We're going to do things a little different this year. We're going to do the service first. So it's going to start at 6 o'clock sharp. And then we're going to do fellowship and cookies and hot drinks afterwards. We're going to try that and see how that works. And that way, people who have little kids, you can get them home at a little faster, a little earlier. It's a wonderful way to start your Christmas with the real reason for the season. It's with words and with music. It just sets the tone for a lovely day, evening. And I want to encourage you to invite your family, your friends, and your neighbors to come, ladies. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you, Penny. Just real quick, the link for the Midweek Advent Bulletin, it's included in the Saturday email that came out. It will be live by Wednesday. Right now it's not live, but the link is there. And we do have invites for you to share for the live nativity, paper invites, or just direct them to the website. They're found in the lobby. And also we have Christmas service invites ready to go, too. They're also in the lobby. Have a great day. Thank you.